Welcome to this service for Maundy Thursday from Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches. The service is led by our minister, the Reverend Craig Bowman.
Welcome to our worship on this Maundy Thursday evening. Come, Lord Jesus, you too were tired when day was done. You met your friends at evening time. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, you too enjoyed when nights drew on. You told your tales at close of day. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, you kindled faith when lamps were low. You opened scriptures, broke the bread, and shed your light as darkness fell. Come, Lord Jesus, meet us here. Our first hymn is I Lift My Eyes to the Quiet Hills. Let us pray. Lord God, you broke down the barriers when you crept in beside us. For in Jesus, the smiling Jesus, the storytelling Jesus, the controversial Jesus, the annoying Jesus, the loving and forgiving Jesus, your hands touched all and touched us, showing how in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither male nor female. All are one in Jesus Christ. And for this we praise you. You opened our eyes to see how the hands of the rich were empty and the hearts of the poor were full. You dared to take the widow's mite, the child's loaves, the babe at the breast, and in these simple things to point out the path to your kingdom. You said, "Follow me, For on our own we could never discover that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither male nor female. All are one in Jesus Christ, and for this we praise you. Here in the company of the neighbour whom we know, and the stranger in our midst, and the self from whom we turn, we ask to love as Jesus loved. Make this the time, good Lord, when heaven and earth merge into one, and we in word and flesh can grasp that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither male nor female. All are one in Jesus Christ, and for this we praise you. Amen.
The reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 14 to 23. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him. They began to question amongst themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Our second hymn is Now My Tongue, the Mystery Telling.
My favourite films is Babette's Feast. It is set in a primitive village in Denmark on the wild coast of Jutland towards the end of the 19th century. The inhabitants of the village are dominated first by the presence and then by the memory of a formidable minister who imposes his narrow interpretation of the gospel and the Christian life on his flock, which includes his two beautiful daughters. The old pastor is not caricatured, but comes across as kindly and lovable. As often happens to a community of the ultra-pious, these good people become extremely critical of one another, and after the death of the old pastor, all kinds of squabbles break out. Meanwhile, the life of the village is disturbed by the arrival of Babette, a refugee from France, a sophisticated woman, accustomed to the luxuries of Paris, who has lost everything in the Revolution of 1871, and she has the address of the pastor's daughters, who are now doing much of the pastoral work of their father and are still unmarried. They agree to accept Babette as a servant, to whom they are unable to pay any wages. The whole community one day decides to have a feast to commemorate the 100th birthday of their late pastor, and Babette hears about it. She has just received in the post from Paris 10,000 francs which she won in a lottery she had forgotten about. She pleads with the two sisters to be allowed to prepare the feast. The sisters reluctantly give her permission, whereupon she has imported from France the most gastronomic banquet imaginable. So round the table gathers a group of the old churchworthies, many of whom are still muttering old grudges to one another. In a rare moment of agreement, they agree to eat stoically, with no comment. "Come inside, where it's warm," the sisters tell their guests when they arrive, but the ante room they usher everyone into looks only marginally warmer than the outside. "Come inside, where it's warm," Babette tells the coachman of a general who is back visiting the community and joins them for the feast, and she ushers the coachman into a room lit with the warm light of a roaring fire. "Come inside, where it's warm," is what she's saying to everyone at the dinner, and her transformation of the dining room is what allows that warmth and plentitude to be spread around. The guests, sitting down to eat, say a prayer to affirm their unwillingness to acknowledge the power of the here and now. "May the bread nourish the body, may the body do the soul's bidding." Like the wedding feast at Cana, one of them adds, the food will have no importance. But they're forgetting that the story of the wedding feast at Cana is only known to us because what is to be consumed has importance. Mary asks Jesus to do something about the fact that their hosts have run out of wine. And Jesus obliges. He doesn't say, "Who needs wine? Water's fine for me." As the meal ends, the diners have been transformed. As they have tucked into the gorgeous food, feuds have been forgotten. Old friends make up their differences. Grim faces relax. Laughter abounds. And if that were all this story told us, about the transforming power of a shared meal, that may be reason enough to watch it. But there is so much more here, including the revelation that Babette has used all 10,000 francs to provide this redemptive meal for the community. She is, once again, penniless, and she resumes her life as a maid without wages, except for the love of this newborn community of Christians. Giving all, a meal, and service. From John's Gospel, "He took off his outer garment and tied a towel around his waist. Then he poured some water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet." Service. From Luke's Gospel, "I have so much wanted to eat this meal with you." A meal. And from Matthew's Gospel, "Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives." And we know what followed. Giving all. The meals of the Gospels are far more than just eating and drinking. They allow for a feeding so much deeper. And so does this one that we recall this evening. It speaks of things that we cannot and never could put into words. Of sacrifice and sharing. Of giving and receiving. Of welcome and acceptance. Of healing and wholeness. And so much more besides. That is the power of our common meal in remembrance of him who died and rose for us, who calls us and walks with us, who invites us and feeds us, our host and our food. On Easter Sunday morning, when we gather together in our homes once again, I ask you to have some bread and some wine, juice or water, and we shall share once again in that meal. Let us pray. Creator and loving God, you kneel to wash our feet, yet we are reluctant for you to see all the places we have gone in our attempts to escape you. You would bathe us in the warm living waters of your love, even though we splash and play in the puddles of temptation. We have received all the gifts you have to offer, yet we are tempted to think that they are only for us, rather than sharing them. Forgive us, Holy One, and have mercy on us. What can we give you for all your wonderful graciousness towards us? As you have broken your heart for us, may we open ours in service to others. As you have given your life for us, may we offer ours to bring healing to the world. As you have called us together around your table, may we go forth to feed a world hungry, not only for food, but for that spirit which brings peace and reconciliation. This we pray as servants of Jesus Christ, who came to serve us in life, in death, in resurrection hope. And on this holy of nights, we have received the good news. God has come in Christ Jesus to fill us with hope and peace, to bathe us in grace and mercy. In remembrance we go forth to bring hope where despair resides, to be servants to those who are broken, to love as selflessly as we are loved by Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. Our third hymn is The Servant King. From heaven you came, helpless babe.
To the servant king. Come see his hands and his feet, the scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space.
Our reading comes from Matthew chapter 26, verses 20 to 25. When it was evening, Jesus and the 12 disciples sat down to eat. During the meal, Jesus said, "I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples were very upset and began to ask him one after the other, "Surely, Lord, you don't mean me." Jesus answered, "One who dips his bread in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man will die as the scriptures say he will. But how terrible for that man who will betray the Son of Man. It would have been better for that man if he had never been born." Judas the traitor spoke up. "Surely, teacher, you don't mean me," he asked. Jesus answered, "So you say."
This reading is from Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 to 35. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same.
Luke 22, verses 39 to 44. Jesus prays on the Mount of Olives. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground.
I am reading from Mark chapter 14, verses 32 to 41. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him and began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
Oh, Lord, hear my prayer. Oh, Lord, hear my prayer. Our reading is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 1 to 6. Jesus prays for his disciples. After Jesus finished saying this, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, so that the Son may give glory to you. For you gave him authority over all mankind, so that he might give eternal life to all those you gave him. And eternal life means knowing you, the only true God, and knowing Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I have shown your glory on earth. I have finished the work you gave me to do. Father, give me glory in your presence now, the same glory I had with you before the world was made. I have made you known to those you gave me out of the world. They belonged to you, and you gave them to me. They have obeyed your word, and now they know that everything you gave me comes from you."
This reading is from John, chapter 17, reading verses 15 to 22. "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one."
The Gospel according to John, chapter 18, reading verses 1 to 5, the arrest of Jesus. After Jesus had said this prayer, he left with his disciples and went across a brook called Kidron. There was a garden in that place, and Jesus and his disciples went in. Judas, the traitor, knew where it was, because many times Jesus had met there with his disciples. So Judas went to the garden, taking with him a group of Roman soldiers and some temple guards sent by the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were armed and carried lanterns and torches. Jesus knew everything that was going to happen to him. So he stepped forward and asked them, "Who is it you're looking for?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they answered. "I am he," he said. Judas, the traitor, was standing there with them.
Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 15, verses 16 to 20. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spat on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him.
A reading from the Gospel according to John, selected verses from chapter 1 and chapter 3. Before the world was created, the Word already existed. He was with God, and he was the same as God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without him. The Word was a source of life, and this life brought light to mankind. The Word became a human being and, full of grace and truth, lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory which he received as the Father's only Son. The Word was in the world, and though God made the world through him, yet the world did not recognize him. Some, however, did receive him and believed in him, so he gave them the right to become God's children. This is how the judgment works. The light has come into the world, but people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. Thanks be to God for this reading from his word. Amen. Good night, and God be with you. Mm-hmm.